Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3, and it's pretty obvious maybe why we're calling this episode 3. We're actually going to have 3 people on this episode, which is great. And of course we have Sharon here, because Sharon's always here, because how could we be over Sharon if Sharon wasn't here? And we brought our friend Adam on to talk about a specific topic, but we won't get into that yet. But we brought him on, it's something about perspective. That's going to be the theme this whole episode. But I'm just here to say hello and introduce everybody. So, hey, Sharon, what's going on?
Not much. I'm excited.
Yeah, our first guest.
Yeah.
So how long did you think it was going to be before we had guests?
I wasn't sure.
Going to be right away?
I didn't realize it was going to be this soon, but it's cool. I'm excited. Yeah,
I know when I asked you, you were kind of like, oh, all right. Yeah. Because I think originally we were thinking about we weren't sure, but we were like, hey, if we're going to have a guest, we might as well do it and call it episode 3. So here we are.
Well, and you manifested it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely did. And then Adam was there just to, I like that little warning. There you go. That was for our last episode for sure. Yes. Probably for this one too, right? A little cognitive dissonance warning. Yeah. So we're joined by our friend Adam.
And hey, y'all.
Hey, why don't you say hi and tell people a little bit about yourself, maybe, you know?
Yeah, what's up? So Sharon and I go way back. I've known Sharon. I say way back. It's probably only been like 2 years, almost pretty much exactly. But in the last 2 years, I think our journeys have just been like parallel. We've been going through the exact same things throughout the last 2 years, and it just feels like a lifetime. I mean, because so much has changed, and just so many threads have been pulled, and so much growth, and there's just a lot. So the
dare I interrupt and say that we probably knew each other in previous lifetimes, and decided we were going to meet and come together this time again.
100%. I did a PLR, a past life regression, and they take you through like this halls of records where you kind of like pick a door to like explore that part of your life that you may have been in a different, you know, different life. And afterwards she's like, all right, now let's go to a different door where you were like the point between lives where you were picking your life. And I I went up right to like this cloud. You remember the movie Souls? That did you finish watching that, the Disney or Pixar movie Soul?
I'm partially in, it was sort of
like that. It was weird. So like there was like this big circle in the sky, like in a big cloud, right? If you want to think of a like heaven cloud things, and there were just like beings, like pure beings all over there. And I kind of graduated to like this big group of people, and I just kind of sat down there, and you were there, and there's a couple other people that were there, and we're just like chilling and chatting, just kind of like what's up, sharing stories and whatnot. And then I got taken to an even higher level, where it was just kind of like quiet, and it was like where the Zen masters are at, and he's kind of like, it was a wild experience. Wow. I haven't finished blogging it, but we did know each other.
I can't wait to read about it. Yeah.
So yeah, we go back.
I was right.
That's quite amazing. But,
and then she introduced me to Brandon, and I found you just, I don't know, you were doing some type of channel with Philip. You, some lady, and Philip were doing something. That's when I started following Philip, because he was on Santa's Bonacci. And then I saw Brandon. I'm like, oh, that guy's pretty cool. And then Sharon's like, hey, do you know Brandon? And I'm like, oh, I just watched him yesterday, because synchronicity is, you know, that's real.
Oh, yeah. And the terrible podcast we had Philip on.
Yeah, that was it.
And Ashley. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And so then she's like, oh, I'm going to be on his show. And I checked that out. And I'm like, oh, this dude's cool. And Brandon's like, oh, dude, my higher self said that you needed a tarot reading. So let's let's hang out. And I'm like, what?
Sounds like something I definitely do,
allegedly. Yeah, and it was pretty sweet.
Awesome. Yeah, you hear that, everybody? My tarot readings are pretty sweet. You can get me. Contact me at brandon@comedy.com.
I approve. 2 thumbs up.
That's right. Hit me up. Let's do it. I've been having a lot of good experiences with that.
I concur.
Yeah, but so Sharon, why are we here today? It seems like you guys have been over sharing a lot longer than I've been involved, but that's great. But so what's the topic? And it's funny because it is something that Adam, I think, put you onto, and then you sent it to me, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. What is going on here?
Yeah. So in the group chat that I have with some friends that I made over the last 2 years that Adam and I are talking about, we've been really growing just in our awareness of lots of things, and we're just helping each other. It's just, it's like four or five of us that are just kind of like, we all have come from different angles, and sometimes some of us will share something and then a few of us will blow up on it and we'll just like, we'll just dig in real hard. And, so at one point I believe it was Daisy who sent us a link of this video on Flat Fact of the 3D glasses, unless it was, I think it was Daisy. Somebody sent that video. And then Adam watched it and he just was like, dude, this is crazy.
Changed.
Dude, crazy. Yeah. And I think I hadn't watched it. And then I finally did. And then I was trying myself to see the images in 3D without glasses. And that to me was a little bit difficult, but that's kind of where we're at in the discussion that I want to, bring to this, episode is about perspective, because it's just really relevant right now, looking at things with new eyes or with, coming from a different perspective, from a new angle. And then like Adam just posted like quickly the cognitive dissonance warning there. It really,
there it is.
We
oh,
all
it's backwards.
Need,
yeah.
Oh, oops. Well, there it is. But yeah, we all need to elevate ourselves to a place where we don't have to be cognitively dissonant, if I could say it that way, so that we can be open to new ideas and new perspectives. So that's what the theme of this discussion is. And we can go in different directions, but mainly kind of guided by that video, the 3D perspective, the eye, the 3D and what you see with your eyes, et cetera.
So. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a great subject because it's nothing that's going to be too polarizing for people. And what we're talking about, everybody, is there's this video where, and we're going to bring it up shortly, but there's two images, one on each side, and there's a certain way to view it without any kind of 3D viewer, just using your eyes, and you could see it in 3D. And so that's why we want to talk about perspective, because most people will just look at it as two photos that are right next to each other. And they think they need some kind of exterior device or something to view it, where actually you have the power within to do it if you just take a second and focus and put some attention into it. So without any further ado, let me bring that up so everybody knows what exactly the heck we're talking about. And here it is. So this is a video from the channel Flat Fact. It's called 1800s Vintage 3D Without Glasses. And we'll put a link below and we're going to play a little bit and do some commentary. So here we go. It might be loud at first, guys, so just get ready.
So as I said, this is the first stereoscopic slide I saw in 3D without glasses. I found it much, much easier to see the 3D if the background is black. So these next images I prepared for you a little earlier for the purposes of training. I've kept them all the same size and desaturated the sepia color so that they are grayscale. You will again need to pause each of the images. So how did you go?
Totally doing it right now.
Please comment and let others know how long it took you, and if you figured out any tricks that were successful for you, and share your tricks. And keep trying if you don't get it. There is.
All right, so we'll pause it right here. Now, the key is, right, if you're looking at this and you're watching this, there's another slide too that makes it a little easier because there's like a dot. But what you want to do is naturally let your eyes cross until the images basically become one. And then when they do, you could just relax your eyes at a certain point and it'll just stay there and you're able to view it in 3D. And, you know, it's going to be hard now probably trying to do this as you're watching this. Maybe some people pick it up, but if you don't, just go back after the video and you could practice. I picked it up pretty much right away, but I've always done stuff crossing my eyes and looking at things like that. So it was just really natural to me. So I might have even tried this back in the day. I mean, when I was a kid, who knows?
Well, you remember like those magic eye books?
Yeah.
They used to have the magic eye, was like all the crazy pictures and you had to like stare at it. And it's a schooner, you idiot. It's
yeah,
a sailboat.
Exactly.
It's right.
I remember them as posters back, I don't know, like 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was totally high school. Yeah.
Right. And then you would like have to stare at them a little bit, and then the image would pop out at you. And those were easy for me to see. I found these a little bit more difficult. But to add to what Brandon was saying, the way she describes it, because she tells you how to do it. I believe she says that a third image in the center will pop up for you. So when you're doing this and crossing your eyes, you're expecting a third image in the center. And that image will be the one that is the 3D version. It's basically mapping the two,
right,
the two on the left and the right onto the center. And that's where you get the perspective of the 3D. And I found it very helpful that the images have the little like rounded edges on the top, because then I was able to attempt to focus on the center one that was coming up for me in my, you know, when my eyes were crossing. I found that helpful, but I found it to be a little bit difficult, even though those images from back in the day in high school were relatively easy for me to see. I found these a little bit more difficult than that. And it took me a little while to actually see them. And as I went back this time around, trying to look at them again, before we started recording this, I found that it was still, I have to do more practice, definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, I remember doing, it was actually funny. It's not funny. Synchronicity again. I actually just checked. I was actually the one that shared that video in our chat.
You did.
To brag, okay. But it was because the week prior, I had been, for whatever reason, hyper-focused on the Magic Eye stuff. Like, I just went through 2 days. I'm like, I just want to do some Magic Eye. Like, why? And so I went through, like, hundreds of images on the internet, and I would just stare there and just find the ones that I like. And it was just kind of like next. And for, you know, somehow my Google searches and YouTube said, oh, let's marry them up, and you should be watching this 3D image thing.
Wow.
So I remember that. And you're right, those things are easier. And I found the trick with the Magic Eye has always been to find the background. Don't find the image, find the background. And when you find the background, you focus on it. That's like that's literally the background, and the other image just kind of literally just pops right up.
Yeah.
So that's the trick for Magic Eye, focus on the background. With this, it's a little bit trickier. I agree. And so what I had worked for myself was, you know, this is the left eye and this is the right eye. And so you create that third image in the middle. And then you have to kind of do the same thing with the Magic Eye by relaxing your eye and kind of focusing on the background of that middle image. And then eventually it'll just kind of like snap. And it does take practice. And she does have like a little dot video or an image with a dot in the middle, focus on the dot with these lines. And it was a quick help. But this is called Side by Side. And you know, I have a 3D TV, and I had always wondered, why are there three 3D options? Why isn't there just one? They have a side-by-side where you have an image on the left, an image on the right, and then they have a top-bottom, so you have the image on top, an image on the bottom, and then you have your standard 3D where you have your red and red shift, blue shift, right? And so I never got that. So once I figured this out, I told Sharon, I'm going to go practice this on my TV. I played Ready Player One, and it took a while because there's just a lot happening, but the next thing you know, I'm standing there for 5 minutes just watching actual 3D with those, you know, glasses. So that's but it was hard. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard.
Yeah,
I was able to pick it up pretty quickly, actually. And
with
was able to hold it.
Yeah. Moving pictures?
No, I haven't tried moving pictures yet. I'm really interested to try that. But as far as the image ones go, but like I said, I've crossed my eyes a lot. I always used to play around with it, so I think that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
It's like funny because, like, I think she also gets into in this video, like, people tried to come up with like these contraptions, like, you know, those old day, that little red eye device with the wheel. You put the little wheel in there, and you go, you know, it'd make a 3D image. It was for like a kid.
I remember,
like,
though.
Red, like, by binocular type thing for kids. And a little yellow switch, you push the switch down and it changes the wheel. And like, there's like 12 images on there. And that's how it gave you like, so they used to have those types of things for these stereoscopic things. And it was just a regular thing. You put the photo right in there and it helped you see into it for those that didn't get it. And then now they make GIFs, right? These GIFs or whatever. And they take the image and they kind of like go back and forth super quick and say, hey, look, this is the technology of the old day before GIFs. And they, so no one's really got it. And until this flat chick got it. And then that just, it changed the way I saw things. But I can say that a little bit later.
Well, the way you see things. You know, when I was talking to, it's so funny because when I was talking to both of you separately about this video, I remember, well, when you first shared it, Adam, you were saying something about the two, like using your eyes to see this, right? Is like basically enabling your third eye to see something.
Right.
And when,
because an image isn't there.
And later when I sent it to Brandon, he said the same exact thing. Without having heard you say that. So I just thought that was very, very interesting view.
Well, yeah. Isn't that reality?
Yeah.
Aren't you using your left eye and your right eye to take your side-by-side photo and then it's coming back in and then your pineal's overlapping it for you and then you're kind of seeing 3D reality everywhere?
Yeah. All you're doing is adjusting your eyes so you see the picture at the same time it's your eyes, and then it just becomes 3D. I mean, it's really all that's going on. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Speaking of that, okay, I was thinking the other day, I haven't asked you guys this yet because I just remembered, but I was thinking about the other day when I was thinking about this video. What about animals like rabbits that have eyes? Like one here and one here. So like, what do they see? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's comical. I was literally, because you said we're going to do this thing, and I went out to feed my chickens and take care of them, and it's a recurring thing. Like I keep thinking about, and it popped up again even today, and I thought, you know, do animals have pineals, and how are they seeing reality, and what can they see, and what can't they see, and you know, can they see things that we can't because we've been programmed to see a perspective through religion, through school, through government. We've been programmed to see the world as a very specific way. Well, they're not. They see nature in nature. So what are they seeing? And then I have a baby boy now, and it's like I'm trying to train him to see things. And I'm trying to think, why can't I want him to teach me how he's seeing things. Forget what I know. I've been programmed. I want to know how he's seeing things in nature. So he's probably trying to like adapt to create this 3D image and trying to grab something over there and it's way over there. Like,
totally. Which makes me wonder, because I saw this the other day. I saw this meme and it made me, I think Brandon said, or somebody sent it on one of the groups that I'm on in Telegram. And it was like a dude crossing his eyes, but the opposite way. Like one eye was pointing this way and the other eye was pointing that way. And I thought to myself, is that a bad thing, or like, could that be a good thing where you could see multiple things at the same time? You know, you don't need necessarily your peripheral, but you could actually, with one eye, you could go, oh, I'm looking over here. And the other eye, you could go, I'm looking over here for a minute, you know? And it just made me think right now about like people saying like, don't do that. You're going to cross your eyes and then they're going to be crossed forever.
Yeah.
You know, like when you were a kid and you would cross your eyes and your mom and dad would tell you that.
They get stuck like that. Yep.
Yeah. They'll get stuck.
Yeah. Like birds. I know birds and like turkeys, they have like 170 degree angle that they can see. So, you know, they can see forward and they can see like back to here. So it's 170 degrees.
And I'm
it would
sure
trip us out if we saw that.
And I'm sure like if their eyes are like over here, right? One of them can be like, one of their eyes can be going over there and the other one could be like over here. It doesn't have to be like both like this and then like both like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're synchronized. I think the turkey can go, you know, I'm gonna look over there, but I'm also gonna look over there.
Oh, I can prove that with my roosters. Like I'll go in there and he's got one eye focused right on me. Meanwhile, he's watching the other roosters over there trying to make sure they're behaving. And if they don't, he's over there in a split second. But then he's like, he starts walking over and I start doing something else. He's like, no, I see what you're doing. I'm like, oh, dude. You're like,
he's so like, I got you covered, dude. I got you covered.
Perspective, Matt, however it works up there. But then that kind of, I'll segue over to like drugs, right? So like, Sharon, remember that one video I'd sent, and I probably should have brought that up and kind of showed it here. It was this lady who did an LSD, it was like back in the 60s or 70s, it was a CIA. They were experimenting with LSD and had a patient being recorded live. And it was all in black and white. And she's sitting there and he's sitting at the other table. And he's like, all right, you know what you're signing up for. Yeah. So they put a little bit of LSD in her water and, you know, she drinks it. And a couple minutes later, her perspective completely changed. And she's narrating everything that's happening in real time. And basically she's saying like, I can't differentiate between where my skin starts and where air begins. Like it's just one seamless thing. And the guy is trying to explain to her and she's just freaking out. Like, oh, that thing's just passing through me right now. And she's like, the ether, the air, I think she even used the word ether. Like it's alive, it's colorful, it's vibrant. And she's like, I feel sorry for you that you can't see what I'm seeing.
I totally
so makes me think like, that. All right, so something in that LSD disconnected the programming in her head from the standard three-dimensional reality that these eyes are telling us to use, where she was able to then disconnect that sense. And then her pineal was fired open. Right. So whether it's a pineal that's being watched or her eyes are helping her out, she's seeing things in a whole different spectrum, which means it's possible. We're just used to seeing this three-dimensional reality. I think that these stereoscopics were kind of like a tool to kind of remind people of, hey, you know, you don't need technology. Don't forget to use your pineal. Like, use your pineal. Here's a way to practice, right? Like, there's hundreds of these, like thousands. There's thousands of these old stereoscopic black and white pictures. Well, I would think that you would want to use them in like educational schools, like real educational schools, to like teach young kids to focus, to use your pineal gland to see into this other world or a different way of seeing things. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but
absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I had recently rewatched that, not super recently, but I blogged about it when I was, I blogged about like talking to my pineal gland, and then it manifested to me in a certain way, which I was quite surprised by. And so in that blog post, I mentioned that link of that 1950s experiment that they did on that lady. And I'll try to send it to Brandon maybe if I can here while we're chatting. But it also reminded me of, you know, DMT and ayahuasca and all these other things. And the thing that we saw about ayahuasca, another, I think it was called Vine of the Soul, because I talked about it also on my podcast.
It's a documentary too.
Documentary that talked about that and the perspective that you have when you see, it just changes in perspective, definitely for sure, when you do those sorts of quote drugs, you know.
And I think that's kind of another reason why some people have good trips and bad trips. It depends on the kind of energy that you're surrounding yourself with. If you're with a good crew or a bad crew, or if you're at a bad point in your life, or you know, your aura's down and you're letting other things in, you're going to be seeing and manifesting, because I truly believe whenever that's popped wide open, you're co-creating and you are help manifesting whatever junk you've got in your life. And so you can either fight that and move past it. And like that one lady says, she was terrified. This thing was coming through her or coming at her. She took a deep breath and it passed right through her. And as soon as she did, she's like, oh my gosh. It's like whatever it was, she didn't translate. It was like she moved past it and it was nothing. And, you know, like it was a demon or whatever you want to call it. That stuff was beyond her. Like it's not even real. It's just fear. So you know, the things that you see when you're bad tripping could be part of that.
Yeah.
Whatever your perspective is.
Yeah. And in that documentary, there were two main people in there that had gone on, you know, on this trip to South America to do that. And I remember their their experiences were like polar opposite of each other. And the man, I felt, went in there open-minded, wanting to know more, wanting to like have a, and his, I guess he, I feel like he was very open, very open-minded, no fear. And this, the other lady that went, I don't know what was going on. Maybe she had some issues, some internal wounds that she had to fix, because for her, the episodes she had while tripping on that stuff was, I mean, she was terrified. Uh-huh. It freaked her out. And the other guy on his first experience was like, I feel like I didn't quite get enough the first time. Like, I think I should do more next time.
Yeah, he went to the master, the guide, and he was just kind of like, can I do more? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have another session tonight. No problem.
Yeah. So it really is kind of where you're at and what your intentions and what your,
I want to change.
That's really nice there. What your issues are, you know?
Yeah. I've heard
what
it explained.
You're trying to address.
Yeah. I've heard it explained as the ego death, and you can also look at it as the way, you know, the lies that people tell ourselves, all lies we tell ourselves, that's all gone. When you do those, you're just staring straight at truth in reality. And sometimes people can't handle that. So then their brain turns it into something else. It turns it into a story where they're getting eaten alive by, you know, whatever, some hallucination that they see or whatever manifests. You know, that's what it could be. And then some people, like you said, are just further down the road of self-healing, or maybe they just have less trauma or whatever. They can deal with it and enjoy it, and they're just more honest with themselves.
Right. And that lady basically in the end, she basically said it was pretty much ego related.
Yeah.
So
you can even look at it as the side of the brain that perceives and talks to us. And then the other side only allows us to see what we can handle, you know, without really losing our brains or without like losing our minds.
Right. Without Amy saying, oh, nope, you can't see that.
Yeah, exactly.
You mean the amygdala?
Yeah. Yeah. James True,
like,
right?
Like, yeah, James True talked about. Yeah.
I actually got his book. I need to read it. He had a book, not whole relevant, the apocalyptic something or other. The best apocalypse ever.
Best apocalypse ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I grabbed a copy, but I haven't looked at it yet, which I think I need to for my side stuff.
Yeah. The other thing that came to mind, unless you guys wanted to finish talking about that.
No, go ahead. I think.
Yeah, do whatever. I got something else to throw down in a little bit about that, but.
Okay. No, go ahead. Finish up.
So by seeing the things that way, and some of the times that I have had, like not bad trips, say, hey, just take this. And I ended up being like 6 times more powerful than I said it was. And I was able to like walk through portals and interact with portals, and I could see, like, you know, my vision would change completely. This is weird. My vision would change completely, where this actually started making sense, where my left eye and my right eye just weren't working, but I could see something like dead center here where I could kind of like interact with it. And it was almost like a gateway that opened up, and my higher self was telling me how to use this thing. And I was talking about like wealth and money and finances, and like, how can I do all these things if I have all these debts and bills? And it's like, my higher self was like, if you care about money, then just go manifest it and create it yourself, because money's not real. And a portal opened up, and I was just like, oh, really? And like, I'm trying to reach through it to grab stuff out. And he's like, nope, you failed. You were trying to actually manifest by trying to grab something. And I'm trying to teach you something and show you through your pineal gland. And you're trying to use your 3D world to manifest and grab onto something. Give the seizure what Caesar's. And I'm just trying to make my eye single. I wasn't getting it. But there have been multiple times where I'd have those types of visions of the pineal open up. And so when I'm seeing this, I needed to write this lady's name down, and I didn't write it down, so I'm not going to bring it up. Anyhow, so recently, I want to put this up. recently Madonna had a concert in 2019, right? So this is like a death cult type ritual because everyone's wearing masks, right? And it has to do with the plasma apocalypse. But here's like the temple in the middle here. Can you see my cursor? No. So there's a temple in the middle, and then in the, up on the screen, there's an image on the left and there's an image on the right. So it's kind of like, well, why are they doing a side-by-side image? What does that, what's the point of that, of doing that right there? And then I'm kind of looking even more at that image, or at the whole stage. So we have the temple and we have the Freemasonic pillars on the left and right, and then there's nothing on top. So I'm thinking, all right, well, this is, has to do something with Jack and Boaz, the stairs. You got the sun on the one side and the moon on the other. Where's the all-seeing eye? The all-seeing eye is everything we're talking about right now. If you're looking at, if your left eye is looking at that and your right eye is looking at that, and you make that image in the middle, you're using your pineal to put your pineal right on that center stage. So that your that third eye that's missing from that stage is your third eye that you don't even know you're seeing, because subconsciously you're taking those two images and using your third eye to create the 3D image that you don't even know is there, and it's sitting right on top of that throne. It's a sick, sadistic ritual performance she has here. I could break it down in other layers. But when I saw that multiple times, I broke it down for a bunch of different reasons. And then my wife was watching it. I'm like, oh, wait, pause for a second. That explains why there's a side-by-side image up there, because it's a trick. You're not going to know about that, but this evil woman does. Does that make sense? Did you follow that track? Okay.
Yeah. So basically, what you're saying is it creates one image in the center at the top of the temple, really. Is what's
if you look
you're
at it,
you're not seeing it. It's not visible to your consciousness. It's your subconscious pineal is seeing it.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're doing the trick where you cross your eyes, then you can
see it.
Yeah.
Right. But there's someone else, so much else going on the stage, and no one's really taking the time. And then there's a spotlight, right? There's a spotlight that's above. There's no other lights up there. There's one spotlight dead center right there. See it? And it's shining down on the stage where nothing's at, where the floating all-seeing eye should be. So what's dead in center? Nothing. It's in your mind. It was weird. Yeah. So I'm starting to see things like that.
Well, anyhow, this
I just wanted to share that part.
Yeah, thank you. Just this topic of perspective also reminds me of that documentary they did called Superhuman. Did you ever see that one?
I didn't start it. I got it for you, but I didn't watch it yet.
Okay. It was about seeing without seeing. I mean, not even with your eyes, like blindfolded seeing. And they had experiments where they would blindfold these children with these. It was they almost looked like those VR frames, but they were just blindfolds. So it would block all the light. And then these little children were doing these experiments where they were reading books with blindfolds. They were playing in a field with like cones, and they were supposed to run around the cones, and they were running around the cones. And then they could tell you what color the cones were. And they could, all these things. It was just mind blowing. A lot of other interesting things in that documentary. I was like floored.
Well, that's kind of what got me hooked on to the whole truth seeking thing anyhow, was savants. You've heard of savants, people with special abilities that are outside the norm, people who can recall things instantly. There's a guy that can control both of his eyes independently, read
that's
a book.
What I mean.
Yeah, he
that's...
can have a book open. This eye is going up and down reading this one, and this eye is going up and down reading this page, and he's just flipping it open, and they had a camera on him, and his eyes are going like this, right? How are people doing this? Well, one guy, he was born blind. His name's Derek Paravinci. He's been blind his whole life. But music, he found a piano when he was like two or three, and he was able to connect with that. Now he can, they say he's better than any other musician that you can even think of. Mozart, Beethoven, you've heard of Plato's Fools, right? Get that one? That's Princess Bride.
No, sorry, I missed it.
Plato, Socrates, have you heard of them? They're fools. Oh, okay. They're morons. That's what he said. They're morons. Well, Derek, they've had people interview him, check him out, scope him out, and the way he can compose music far exceeds what these guys can do. Well, he sees the music. He's blind. He sees the music and he sees the color. So he would sit down in front of like a big orchestra and he has a piano and then have 47 pieces or 100 pieces, however big it was. They'd all play one note at the same time. And he was able to, with just 10 fingers, recreate that same note, and it blew the orchestra conductor away. He's like, how is he taking 100 pieces of instruments that are playing at the same time, and then with 10 fingers, recreate that same thing? He's like, I was watching his hands. He's doing 10 fingers, but he's that kind of overlaying into other keys too to perfectly get it. The guy sees color in music. That's pretty wild. Just saying, that's wild.
That reminds me of this guy on YouTube named Rick Beato. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he has a son that since he was in the womb, he would play music for him, like classical music for him and all kinds of just different kinds of music. So as he was, and Rick Beato is a musician, so he was teaching him things as he was growing up. Well, the little boy has what they call perfect pitch, where he can do kind of what you were saying, where his dad will like have him turn around and face away from the piano, and then he'll just play this like chord that's like completely like dissonant or whatever. Yep. It doesn't matter what it is, and he'll name every single key that he played, but he'll sing it at the same time as he's naming it. So he's like A, you know, G, F, you know, and he, like, I can't do that. But like, he does that. It's just insane.
Yeah, it's amazing what the human mind and the human body is capable of when we realize who we are as conscious creators. And a lot of times it happens as a child because, like Adam was saying earlier, we're not taught all this indoctrination yet. And so, especially in the womb, you know, and if you can find another way out, and if you have something people call blindness a handicap, but it actually will just give you a different perspective and window into the world and a lot of free time. And now you have your attention. And I was just talking about this with a friend of mine about attention, how attention is a real true currency. Whatever you put your attention toward, you're going to manifest. If you can't see anything else and, oh, that's a great background. If you can't see anything else and, you know, you have nothing to focus your attention on all day, except for a piano and music, you know, it's going to be magical. Could it be?
I can see it. Sorry, go ahead, Brandon.
No, that's it. That's all. No,
I've heard that too. Yeah. Your attention is currency.
Yeah. And if you're just focusing it all day on the piano and you're not in despair about it, you know, and you're just happy and you're just doing your thing. I mean, that's in my life with DJing. I'll just say that, you know, I started a lot later than all these other DJs that I'm working with. I started when I was like 31, and there was a time period when from about 2010 to 2017, I was working at this bar every weekend and I would do gigs in between and stuff. But I decided that I was going to try to mix everything. I kind of learned how to mix music and I saw these guys do it. And I'm like, I want to learn how to mix all this old stuff and new stuff and just make it all fun, like beats. And I just started to like feel the music and let go. And that 7 years of practice, like every time I was doing it, instead of putting a mix on when there was, you know, if it wasn't that many people, whatever, you could just put a mix on and walk away. I would just sit there and play music and mix everything. And it just got me to this level now where I sometimes don't even need headphones to do it. I just know and feel the music and I can feel it coming in. And people are just like, wow, that was crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it was nothing. But it's just because I practice all the time, you know? Yeah. And that's what I tell people. I sucked when I started. You know, you always suck. Well, not a lot of times, but you have some talent or whatever, but you have to wake it up. You have to give it the attention. It's not just going to come, you know? And I know you guys know that, so I'm not preaching to you, but do you listening out there? Come on, do it.
Do it, man.
Sharon, back to you.
I was going to say, I can see Adam's background.
This is irony, by the way, if anyone could actually do it.
I've seen Harry, this one before, but the funny part is like, it's like angled in.
Yeah. Go, you it are seeing it.
Because I just saw it. So it angles in like this, right?
Yep.
And the perspective. Okay. Adam's at the very center of like where it's angling in like this.
That's right.
So But I'm going to ask you guys.
There's an eye, right? There's an all-seeing eye right here.
There is.
That's why I have my head right here. Yeah.
There. So I'm going to look at it, and you guys tell me if I look like I'm crossing my eyes, okay? So I'm just going to try right now. I'll tell you when I see it.
All right, I'm going to pin your video then, and I will unpin Adam's. Yeah, there we go. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I think I can see it now.
No, you look normal.
Yeah. You look a little Cambodian, but I'm just... That's an inside joke, everybody. Which is terrible for a podcast, but it's all right.
Yeah.
You get it.
I'll just elaborate. Lots of people sometimes can't tell where I'm from. So they think I'm Asian. Sometimes lots of different Asians. And I was at this friend's party and she's Filipino. Her mom's Filipino. And her mom asked me, are you Korean? No.
I mean, if you got Korean barbecue, maybe, but you know.
offering?
Right. That's funny.
But yeah, so I saw that, and you guys, my eyes weren't crossed. So how interesting. It's not even visible. How funny. I wonder how it is for the other ones, the ones with that lady does, the flat fact one. Yeah. I wonder if that's more crossing going on.
I can share on a somewhat personal level that I'm sure other people can relate to is when you come out of like a really good, like high where you're kind of like elsewhere and I'm kind of coming back in, like it's coming down, come back in. When I come back to 3D, it is weird. Like seeing this 3D world as we see it right now, when I'm coming back into this 3D world, like visually, my eyes are just like, oh my gosh, look, there's so much stuff everywhere. Like, look at all this stuff. I go ape because I can't believe how much physical material is here compared to where I was just at. It always blows my mind. Like, oh my gosh, there's just so much here. Cause I was elsewhere. I wasn't using these eyes, even though I was kind of using them, right, to do something or other. But that always baffles me, whatever perspective I'm using.
I personally can't, because I don't know like what you've been through or what you've been looking at when you're
gummies
in that thing. But I have a question, because I think you said this the other day, or somebody said this the other day, and then I heard it again. So I'm like, okay, so can somebody please tell me what 5D means, or like, can you explain 5D? Because I know we hear 3D, da, 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 da. I haven't heard anybody say 4D, but all of a sudden people are talking about 5D. So can someone break that down? Is that Adam? Is that you?
Think of my battery's almost dead. I know Owen's got into this good bit. It's all about fractals, right? Or dimensions, or however you want to say it, like on your keys, since we're talking about piano, you have your set of keys A through G, and then you have the next fractal, and then you have the next fractal or dimension or whatever you want to call it. Higher dimensions are going to be bigger beings. The next dimensions down are going to be lower beings. And we're here now, we're itty bitty. That's why Titans were as big as they were, because they were in bigger fractals. So it's kind of like, that's where you get that 1.61 something, the golden ratio rule, right? Which is kind of like spirals. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's the seashell effect.
Yeah.
That's the fractals, right? So whatever the next fractal up is the 5D. And I think when the next topic that I'll try to avoid, when that reality shift changes and we go into this new age of being blue beings, or the firmament cracks wide open, or whatever this is of the higher self, you know, rapturing up or staying down or spaghetti monster, however you want to describe it, that other self of us that is already in that fractal, right? We're already in those fractals. We've already been in all of them. Eventually, if you keep zooming in onto like the microscope, you just keep, you know, if we had the technology to keep zooming, we're eventually going to see ourselves looking at ourselves, right? So that's kind of how that fractal spiral works. Mm-hmm. So the 5D is the higher self and the higher fractal. So that's kind of a really bad way of explaining that answer. maybe.
Nah. Brandon, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you know anything about 5D?
No, I know. This is what I know. I know a lot about 4D chess. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Yeah, see?
Star Trek.
I will say that I really like what he says, because I could relate that to the Hermetic principles, as above, so below. And I feel like something came through when you were saying that. I just wanted to share, which was like, you know, we're kind of here to overcome slavery. And it's not that anyone's enslaving us. We just have to overcome the mindset, because as long as we have the mindset, it's going to be out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody really holding us as slaves. There could be people benefiting from the fact that we're slaves, you know? So I think that to get to that next level, maybe it could be that it's not going to be a giant event that gets everybody there, but these big events that happen propel more of us. And then as we go along, more of us can help others along, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. Cause I feel like it's just a cycle, because it could be like we're pouring through a filter, right? And some of us are getting stuck, and then we get through in this level, this tourist field we're in, could it be, allegedly, is that, and then the pure stuff falls through and the other stuff stays here, and we have to wallow in that and make our way through it until we could go down to the lower level or ascend to the higher level, however you want to look at it. But that's how I feel it's going on. So we're still part of that liquid that's going through. That's still us, the lower beings and the higher beings. That's why when we talk about aligning our behavior with natural law and God's law and karma and the golden rule and all these things, you're, by doing that, you're really putting out a call to the beings that are up there already. And they're, you know, they're like, hey man, I need a little bit of help here. And they see that, you know, and that's when the synchronicities are rolling. So. Mm-hmm.
That totally like brings us to the topic of the plasma apocalypse that Adam has been.
You want to get into that? I don't know if you want to get into that.
We don't have
listen,
to.
Just so you know, the name of the show is called Over Sharon. So, I mean, you know, we'll just be right, blaming it on the name. Blame it on the name.
Yeah.
Now it's a musical podcast.
Gosh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We can either touch on it right here.
Well, why don't you, a good segue would be to talk about the mirror, going through the mirror.
Yeah,
because that's a good idea. I can segue that way.
Thank you. Do it.
So you start.
Yeah. So earlier we were talking in one of the chat groups that we're all in about Saint Germain. Crow 777 recently did an episode about Saint Germain, and he was talking about how the last woman who saw him actually saw him, quote, disappear into a mirror. Like, he walked into a mirror and then he was gone, allegedly. So Adam was stating how that is just merely a perspective of that woman. And could it be that her perspective was just using that word? And that's okay. I know what you're doing. That's a mirror, and that lady's like walking into the mirror, right? Is it a GIF? It's like a GIF, I think.
Uh-huh.
And so could it be that these things are actually portals or stargates, and she just used the word mirror? So Adam, I don't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of, I mean, that's perspective too. That's what I was kind of getting at. Like, you have Alice going through the looking glass. You have Neo. He's touching that mirror. As soon as you touch it, it goes all liquid. Water. Mm-hmm. Think of, well, actually, Keanu Reeves again with Constantine. He transferred into the next dimension through water, right? He submerged himself underwater. That's how he entered the apocalyptic hellish realm, right? So it's always water is like the way to, you know, the waters above and the waters below, which kind of goes into what I was saying before, you know, you go up to the next water level. Okay. That's into the next fractal. You go down the water level. That's below a fractal. So in the 16th century, I think it was 15th, 16th century of Saint Germain. And, you know, he sees a portal open or a mirror and someone walks through it. Well, we've been researching stargates, portals. You got black mirrors. You have these concepts. Well, how do you explain that in the 16th century? How do you explain a helicopter? How do you explain a cell phone? It's the cell phone and 16th century is going to be, oh, you're witchcraft because you're scrying. Well, we are scrying. So is it a mirror? Is it a portal? Is it a gateway? Is it a stargate? Like what is this? Is it just a big old thing of water? Like actually in Stargate when the Stargate gets aligned up and this whole watery thing that he puts his hand through and it. Okay. Well, that's just a means to it's depicted throughout books, cultures, videos, movies of like that translucent state, trans something state, whatever word it is, that you go into the next world is always through water. So it's perspective, right? So that made me think of, all right, well, the black mirror is the sky. That's Nun. In Egyptian culture, Nun is stretched out over the heavens and she has all the scars in her, or stars in her. Well, the sun is just a focal point. You take the sun away, it's still black. You got a black sky. It is the black mirror. There's waters above. So, you know, we have all these stargates throughout the earth that they don't work anymore. Or they've been deactivated. Some Indian cultures say they know how to activate some of them and they're told not to or forbidden to, or else the Titans come in and they destroy some of the cultures, which that's why you see some Indian people in Native Americans, pardon me, in the Western, like in your area, they have like cities inside the mountains to hide from these Titans, from these destructions. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's a portal? What's a mirror? Why are they always depicting going through this reflective object, right? It has to be reflective because you're seeing yourself on the other side and you got to go through yourself. And that's what you're saying. Who
spiritually
was it Brandon saying it earlier? Saying, guys, No, it was someone else I was listening to, Jay Dreamers. He's like, have you ever actually just taken the time to just stare in the mirror and just stare in your eyes and just stare in your soul? And are you comfortable with that? What are you looking at? And can you face your own demons right then and there? Well, that's the transmutual fire. Like, can you know, face your own demons, your own, you know, sins, whatever you want to term, you want to, you know, use that.
Going within.
Right. That's the mirror. People are like, well, how do you go through this mirror? Okay, well, that's it. There might be an actual physical mirror, an actual portal.
Wow.
But go inside yourself and what's coming out on the other side, Alice. Like that's you make that decision, not me.
Yeah.
That's my
identify your own flaws, your own issues that you have to address. Just like we're talking about with the DMT and the ayahuasca and stuff. Like that causes you to really look inside, look inward, and address those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready, then you're going to see things that are going to scare you. Could it be? But yeah. I think the other thing about looking in the mirror, like you said, exactly, it's about going within and looking within and doing the work and just getting to know yourself. And then maybe that's how you access the portal, because that could have been another way. You know, maybe there's some way of inner knowing that you get to this level where people don't even see you. You know, you think of these episodes of like the old Star Trek. There was an episode where they encountered this race that moved so fast that they couldn't see him. They would just hear like buzzing. And then when they were taken into their world or whatever, sped up, the other crew of the Star Trek looked like they were frozen because they're moving so slow and they'd be in there having a conversation. Yeah. It's like, whoa, right? It's like really some mind blowing stuff. So if that could be part of what it is too. Maybe there's a way to do like the Jedi mind trick, or you just are walking in between people's peripherals, or they're just not even noticing you. So maybe this is how this guy slipped out of danger, you know, or possibly it was a portal, you know, everything's open, but just another way to look at it. Maybe it's
both. Oh, yeah, if you're vibrating at a higher frequency, you're going to be moving faster than that lower base frequency, right? So if you're moving at a higher pace, that's part of the 5D, right? Your consciousness is higher. It's raised. It's gone above the, you know, you have your seven colors, the violet. Well, you've gone into the ultraviolet. Okay, that's another seven colors above that. So if you're up there vibrating, we can't see ultraviolet and we can't see infrared. So are ghosts in that spectrum? Are they just vibrating higher? Some vibrate lower.
Good point.
Stuck there and angels, right? Being vibrating higher.
And think about if you wanted to leave a clue. So think about if you did start to vibrate to this higher level and you were going to transcend, we'll say, and you wanted to leave a clue, why not step through a mirror? Because then people will be like, he stepped through a mirror. And then later occultists and people who get it, you know, hermeticists could be like, oh, it's another allegory, you know, like that's the way, guys.
Yeah. And you, Adam, just talking about how, and Brandon, you guys were talking about moving faster than people in the lower plane or whatever, however you want to describe it, people vibrating a higher frequency versus people vibrating at a lower frequency. It makes me think of like when you're around normies, you just like, you can't, it's almost like you can't even participate in their discussions because they're just meaningless and they're empty and going nowhere. And I mean, you're up here, you're like, I could be talking about all kinds of stuff that is so much more important than the stuff they're talking about. So you're,
I know you're not a fan of NPCs being real, but they're definitely NPCs.
Well, okay.
But you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. I just feel like there are people who think of it in the sense of like real actual NPCs as in like their program. But yeah, I get what you mean.
You're
not actually, about the Mandela effect? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, actually, I watched it and I when you guys were talking about Kit Kats, I actually took the time to go on Duns and Bradstreet, which is where all companies are recorded. And I was like, well, maybe Kit Kat kind of like total side rant here. maybe Kit Kat kind of like changed their company name, you know, like United States. Oh, wow. I could really go down that rabbit hole. There are certain companies that just rebrand themselves, shut down another company and spin it back up. So I looked and Kit Kat Inc. was used to be in Montana and they've been out of business. And it's just Kit space Cat. Well, I'm trying to find where if there's a Kit dash Cat company that's been created. But I mean, if you're going to have to recreate your company for whatever reason, and it's a successful product, but you know, M&Ms aren't selling or gummy gooies, candies, whatever it is, isn't selling, that's, you got to rebrand yourself. Okay, you know, we'll call ourselves Kit dash Cat. I'm just saying, it was an angle I went at, and it started to look like it was legit.
Like what was legit?
Oh, that like the company Kit space Cat went out of business. So I think Kit dash Cat was a new business. So if we're Mandela effect, it's like, oh, the dash was there. The dash wasn't there. No, it was there.
Okay.
So the company went out of business.
Okay. In other words,
they rebranded kind of themselves.
The point that it's not anything woo woo going on.
It's no woo woo. The company rebrand.
There you go.
Anyhow. Perspective.
Well, thank you for that homework. Sorry, I interrupted earlier. Brandon, you were about to say something, I think.
I don't know. I think we were going to start talking about this plasma thing you guys were talking about.
I mean, I can get into it. I'll try to stay light because, I mean, if we're on topic of mirrors, the ultimate mirror is the black mirror. That's what I was getting at. The ultimate black mirror, the black monolith, however they want to kind of phrase it, is the firmament in the sky. That is the crystalline entity in Star Trek. That is the mirror. When they say Hillary Clinton's like the highest glass ceiling, we've got 1,000 cracks in it. Well, they're trying to break it, right? That's what the picture is in the background. That's the blue sky. And if you look into redshift sky, blue shift sky, at some point, if the sky cracks open, well, you can't really see it from this point of view. This is like a World of Warcraft trailer where it was just like the old elves had the pointy ears, white face, the people of old, right? The original elf race, elves, as in like Elohim, the elves, the creators. She was like, the world's a prison. And then she shoots the plasma beam out of Mount Meru and blows up the ice, blows up the firmament. Well, when she blows it up, it took me a minute. That's a mirror. This is the tower that's they're under. And when it blasts open, you have this plasma that's shooting out. It's all on fire. That's your judgment fire, if you want. But then there's on top of it, a replica, another tower directly above it. That's the mirror. Yeah, it's shaped a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's mirrored. Mm-hmm. And there's a theory going on that I'm working on people saying, oh, it's our sister world. What do you mean? Well, you have, if you think of the dome, with flat and it's got a curve, they're saying, well, you can actually kind of gravity would shift up here where buoyancy changes. Buoyancy changes. You can now actually walk up here, and that's the mirror world. So the water here is the barrier between our world and this world, and how the plasma works, because that the sky's plasma, it hardens that atmosphere, if you will. I'm just using their words, and makes that hardened shell. So when it cracks open, then this plasma from their world comes out, and that's when you have red shift sky and blue shift sky. Well, it's being portrayed in tons of comic books. People are asking, how come in DC comic books and Marvel Universe, they're always painting these red skies? Well, because that's where the magic world is. That's where at the end of Lord of the Rings, they at the very end, they go in a boat and say, now's the time for man. We've got to go to our own place. Yeah, they went up there to where the magic world still is. This is the time of man. So when they say about the polars, the North Pole and the South Pole are going to shift, the polar shift, they're talking about the world shift, and the blue will be up top and the red will be down here, and they won't have a red sky. That's the high overview. Well, then the mirror part is this mirror up here. So is there a mirror self? Is there a higher self? Is your 5D self up there? Is that your higher self? Is that where the Titans of old live? Is that the next fractal up? If this opens up, what's coming in and what's going out? If this is an enclosed system, okay, think of a pop can. You open up a pop can, you're going to have all that fizz just go, right? There's just going to be that vacuum. Okay, well, now do that in an enclosed system the size of Earth. What's going to happen when you pop that can? Well, I'm going to imagine that people are going to get sucked up, raptured up. You're going to see structures flying up over place. People are going to be sucked into the air. This big tornado is going to be coming. All the air pressure is going to kind of come down to the side. And you have these flash freezes all over the outside. That's how you have woolly mammoths instantly frozen in ice. That's your ice age because of that. So is it good to be sucked up? Is it good to stay, be left behind? Is left behind good? Is left behind bad? Is being raptured good? Is being raptured bad? This is like your Gog versus Magog, your end of the world, plasma apocalypse. So it also helps explain like Tartaria and mud floods and where all these things went, because if the sky opens up, there's this plasma out there, and this plasma has these tentacles. And when it comes in, it just starts destroying the land and starts liquefacting the land. And when these things get liquefacting, the earth starts shaking and stuff just starts to fall down. So these buildings weren't built underground. They were up here. And because of liquefaction, the buildings just kind of start sinking. Dead Titans started to sink into the ground, and now their faces are lifted up. And now we see mountains that look like the shape of Titans everywhere. So you can keep going on and on and on with this stuff. And it's just kind of the great reset, if you will. So if this thing, how it's explained, how it gets hardened, the firmament gets hardened again, and then our sky is going to be red. Well, now you're going to have an influx of oxygen. So if there's an influx of oxygen, things are going to be much lighter. Things are lighter, and we're not being held down because of density and buoyancy. We're going to get bigger. We're going to get a lot bigger. Trees are actually going to be manifested again, like an Avatar, big, huge, monstrous trees, animals, titans, all this type of thing. It's going to be like the new reset of Garden of Eden, if you will. Fruit will be abundant everywhere. It's going to be nice and warm. People aren't going to really need clothes. Just things are going to be different. And if this is actually the, you know, we've been trying to track the Uranus, where it's, if this is actually going to be shifted in here, they say Uranus is where is the Christ, and that it would reign for 1,000 years. Okay. Well, that fits a bunch of other religious texts. So you can have 1,000 years of this nice garden that's everywhere before this, the hero's journey cycle starts again. So here's the plasma event. Here's the Garden of Eden. And here's the next event, you know, Roman, Jesus, you know, you just keep having all these same types of things that keep happening until we're back over here and this circle where it's technological mayhem, right? To the point where it's about ready to collapse. The event happens, destroys everything, gets rid of the bad blood, gets rid of all the things that don't belong, destroys things. That's why you have the Grand Canyon, because these plasmas come in and just destroys it. And there's a guy that's really good that's been breaking this stuff down. I started my own Telegram channel, just showing it in like things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, I'm seeing it in Little Mermaid. I'm seeing it in music videos. They're showcasing this event very specific about a blue beam coming up, shattering the sky. The all-seeing eye comes out, plasma comes out and destroys everything. As simple as that sounds, it's in cartoons, it's in movies, it's in music, it's in TVs, it's in MTV Awards. It's left and right. So I've been helping expose that quite a bit. But that's a lot to comprehend if you don't have certain cosmological ideas and don't have certain backgrounds of, like, you know, all the things we've been studying, Titans and mud floods and technology of old. Where did it come from? Why are these towers all across the Earth this year being light up? You have, like, the Space Needle got lit up during the 2021 New Year's event, got huge, crazy lights. You've had the Eiffel Towers being lit up with 2024 written everywhere. You have the big tower in London, forget the name of it, the Shiv or something. Shiv. You have these towers all over the Earth, big named towers that are just being lit up. And it made me think, these are lightning rods. How are these people going to survive this? How this, if you want to follow these, the days, the controllers, their bloodlines, the key pure that have been around since, you know, ages and ages, how have they survived this long? Because they know how to read the sky. They know the sky clock's running. And just like Orson Welles' Time Machine, you have this, the people up top, and you have the evil grabblers down below the ground that have been hiding out during the big reset. And they come up and then they sacrifice and kill the other people, slowly controlling them. So I'm thinking that these big towers, I have a whole list of like 20 of them that have been lit up, are kind of like the Batman signal for the elite people. Hey, there's a bunker here. There's a bunker here. You want to come here? Because if the plasma's coming and it hits, the plasma's lightning, and it hits these tower rods, these lightning rods, hopefully it doesn't go below that, and that tower can hold that lightning rod, and your bunker underneath is good to go. All the rest of the world's being sucked up in these vacuums back here. That's my thought, because if you think about it, people of Hollywood, people of politics are just kind of disappearing. Where are they? Where'd they go? You see, like, people like Biden wearing these masks, clearly wearing a mask. That's not them. People like Hillary Clinton having their face masks on and their eyes. That's not you. These people have bugged out. And I think that's where they're at. And I'm kind of calling it out. Hey, YouTube, I know where they're all at. So go get your guns, go get your arms, hide your wives, hide your kids, go there, get them. And that's where the bunkers are at if you want to survive. That's my opinion.
Yeah. If you want to survive. I have a question for you about.
That was a lot. I'm sorry. It's cool if you don't want to track that all.
If you want to survive in your current form.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly right. If you don't want to be transmuted by the fire to be ascended, whatever that means spiritually or actually literally, or, you know, the blue beam rips out of you like Superman and you're been transmuted, whatever that looks like, right? If you want to survive as you are and corrupt the 3D people in the next realm, then you're going to hide out somewhere to be the controllers. No thanks.
Yeah.
Just want to clarify that.
So, ahead, Adam, I was going to ask about all these shows and movies and comic books that are showcasing this information. How far back is it going? How far back in movies and shows and things like that is it going? Is it going really far back? Like the people who control, I'm going to just say that because, or whoever, the entities who control the creation of these movies and videos and shows, like how have they known, or are they known all this whole time?
Well, there's certain things, like even in the Freemasonic area, like if you expose certain how like the Freemasonic works, if you expose certain things, it's like they allegedly will kill you. Some things you have, like, it's such a secret you have to keep hush. So it's almost like the people that do know, because they were brought up in those families, and even if they're like descendants of those families, like, hey, you really can't talk about this, but you can make fun of them. Then you have people like Soundgarden, who's been like ringing the bell with their music, like, hey, Black Hole Sun, I'm trying to tell you something. Like, then you have the Skeleton Bones song. And then, he tries to expose people without pedophilia, killed, instantly killed. So they nicked him. So there's other bands that have been doing this. They've been kind of ringing the bell, just kind of like, I don't know how else to tell you. I can only say this in so many ways, but this is it. Well, I've only recently been like, gosh, I've had probably about 50 posts just in the last week because it's just, I can't stop. But I'm right now, as far back as I've gone, is like the 70s and 80s in cartoons. Okay. And like just taking their intros alone, from just watching it, like, oh, cool, there's a sewer being blown up and there's red lights coming out and there's someone slashing a poster and like there's this big creature with an eye on top. Or that was Miru that shut up its blue, its lightning, and all these people were being raptured up by the purple plasma that was coming down, where Shredder's literally shredding the sky open with his tentacles. The sky goes crimson red, there's mist everywhere, and there's an all-seeing eye they're trying to defeat. How about that point of view? Perspective. Like, you're trained to see this stuff, but to like make it, you know, in, you know, it's just a cartoon, it's just this, and they want to make it so that it resonates with real life, but make it seem like it's fantasy or science fiction. But everyone's attracted to this stuff because, oh, there's something about it. They're like, oh, I really like this. Yeah, it's the recreation story. It's Genesis. It's the end of Revelation and the beginning of Genesis. It's not a set it and forget it. It's cyclical.
It's a cycle.
It's just over and over, because in our own studying from our old Bible group from ages back, we learned that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Well, and the earth was without form and void. It says tohu vabohu. That means that there was without, it was a destruction. It was destroyed and laid waste. That's what it is. Destroyed and laid waste. What was destroyed and laid waste?
The previous civilization.
The only other time tohu vabohu is mentioned in scriptures by Isaiah, and he said, I was seeing a civilization that was destroyed by tohu vabohu. What are you talking about, that there was a civilization that was destroyed before Genesis 1-2?
Exactly.
Because watched the plasma event happen. Wow. Or apocalypse, or whatever you want to call it. But now I've only gone back to like the 70s, but I've been so caught up in the stuff right now, because pick any show right now, even in there, like, it's there. It's there. As soon as I turn on like my Amazon Fire Stick to watch my Plex, because I don't watch any of that stuff, they have those little previews. Every other preview, Kate's even starting to spot it. It's like, oh, look at that red aura around that guy's head with the white background. He's clearly a space alien with the all-seeing eye coming out, spaghetti monster. I'm like, I've trained you well, young one. So, you know what I mean? Like, Ghostbusters, that was a big one. That's riddled everywhere. Yeah. Lots of stuff in Star Trek. Yeah.
That's funny. So I have a question for you, and I don't want to forget to ask you to give us your t.me/, I don't know if it, your Telegram account, so, you know, your channel, so that anybody who's interested in looking at your deep dive into all these movies and shows can go check it out.
Yeah, and I'm no one compared to some of these other greats that are really tackling this hard. And I give them credit. I have a couple of shorts that I point directly to those guys. Okay, go check those dudes out. But like, as well as they're talking about some stuff, they're actually talking about the real science and the real details of like, well, if that happens, that means this, that means this, that means this. I'm just exposing it and everything I'm seeing in the media, which is a blast. And it's t.me/theplasmaevent. That's it.
Forward slash, I believe is
the word. I don't know, maybe. Slash.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. I want to ask a question to you about how this relates. And I don't know if this will be maybe like the last question, unless there's other things we want to talk about, but I'll bring it forward and then we can decide. So I don't know if Brandon did, but at least Adam has watched that EWAR series, Lost History of the Flat Earth. And part 7 was kind of the big reveal. And he's really just, from what I understand, from another friend of mine who has seen that stuff before. He's really just kind of taking information from different people and like melding it together. So Vibes of the Cosmos, or originally I think it was called Sturgio's channel on YouTube, had already put this information together in several different videos. It's just that Iwar has put them into a one piece series. So having said that, at the very end, he's talking about the world being a mirror on the moon, basically. And we're just like, if you've ever seen the Prague clock, anyone, we're just, you know, a portion of that, right? And because we're a portion of that, and it's part of the greater, like when you call the great year, the 26,000 or 25,900 or however many years that is, that we go through a great year, and every year, like every 2160, we're in one zodiac. We're in one of the zodiac. So there's 12 of them, right? 12 signs of the zodiac. So we'll go through 12 of them. So multiply that by 12 and you have the almost 26,000 years of a great year. And so having said that, how do you relate that to this? And oh my God, I just thought of this right now.
Okay, so
Crow is always talking about, are we in Aquarius? Right. Like, when are we in Aquarius? And he's like, some people say we were already in it in 1881. Some people say, no, we're not there yet. We still have another 500 years to go, da da da, whatever, right? Now I'm just like mind blown right now, because could it be that this is what takes us into Aquarius? Like, could this be that, you know what I'm saying? That takes us, and this is the ship that takes us into the next 2160 years. I don't know if
that's my perspective of things. Yes.
Really?
It is.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. When Jesus was speaking, he's always said, pay attention to the water bearer. That's when you know. Okay, well, when's the water bearer, right? A lot of people have been speculating this, that, and the other. And I think I just saw a meme today about something about the Mayans, some type of backwards thinking Mayans got 2012 and 2021 mixed up.
I think someone sent that and I sent it to you.
Whatever it was comical.
That was hilarious.
But I mean, yeah, I do. I've heard people say, oh, there's something going to happen. I think even Crow is speculating something happened December this year during the low point of the sun. It makes sense. I mean, it totally makes sense for it to be the low point of the sun in December. That's why people always say winter's coming, winter's coming. It's going to be a hard winter this year in movies. That's why. I've been studying eclipses, and I know there's a big, massive eclipse happening in January, February, March, April 2024, which is interesting. It's an interesting eclipse. Hasn't happened in like 70 or 90 years. And Marvel is making a big deal about it in their Flash things. Like, the red sky appears and it's saved by Flash Gordon. He comes back and the date says April 25th, 2024. It's like the day or two after the eclipse. Why?
Ever come out? I'm just kidding.
No,
will that ever come out? Because if we're gone by then and everything's destroyed.
No, that was actually like a news article in like the Flash episode, right? The Flash was like somewhere in time, and they're like scrolling through the future, kind of like Paycheck style from the movie Paycheck with what's his face? He kind of makes a thing to see into the future. And eventually goes far back. He actually sees himself. But I mean, the whole plasma apocalypse, it ties in exactly to the perspective thing, because it has to do with your pineal gland. It has to do with your all-seeing eye, your third eye, because people have described this big event, this big solar eclipse event that goes red. And when you have that aura with the corona of an eclipse sun, it looks like these big, huge crowns of thorns shooting out, right? Well, yeah. If that's the same thing, that's the All-Seeing-Eye people are talking about. That is the All-Seeing-Eye, because it judges. It will, if it opens up, because people get nervous and are always, why they always pay attention to the eclipse, because one of those eclipses, I think, opens up, and then out comes a spaghetti monster. And then that's where the plasma happens. So that's just what I've been seeing, like, not just in, like, text, but like in movies, like they keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again by creating this All-Seeing-Eye. And you know it's the All-Seeing-Eye, not just saying, oh, it's just a hole in the sky, because they always have the same Freemasonic temple. They always had the same temple. If I had it, I'd show it in the background. They always have their Masonic floorboards. They always have your steps going up. They always have your two pillars on there. They always have the gateway in the middle, and they always have the triangle up top. Every single one of these that I've seen, I can find it and show it to you right before they have the plasma event happens. Why? I'm not.
Yeah.
I want to know why.
Yeah.
That's kind of so what I'm digging.
It makes me, and we can end with this point. It makes me think about what Iwar is up to for his next series, because I remember he was having this little issue with this one guy who was trying to, you know, put the DVDs together of his material and like sending them to people and selling them. I don't want to go into if that was right or wrong, but, and then, you know, violation of his rights or whatever, but he essentially writes back to that guy and tells him, look, because that guy's coming from a very, very Christian perspective, the guy who was making those DVDs and selling them. So he basically tells the guy, look, you may not be wanting to sell these because the stuff I'm working on now is may not
line challenge up with
your Christian perspective. And so what you just said right now made me think of that. Like, what if the stuff he's talking about is the stuff that you're going to, that you've talked about? Like, what if EWAR's stuff is going to be about this?
Well, I know he talked a lot about the next thing we got to get into is magnetism. And that makes a lot of sense, that has to be the next topic to get into, to get people ready for what magnetism is, how it works, and why this pole shift that people keep talking about matters. And when that happens, what does that do to this realm? Because that plays in a big part when the pole shift. I think that's the trigger for Mount Meru, the center beam that gets shot out of the only volcano that actually exists. Volcano doesn't even mean volcano. It means Vulcan, and I forget what it means, something about the elf gods. I think that shift is what sends that beam up into the firmament, and that's what cracks it. So this whole pole shift that people talk about, you know, the weather change and all that stuff, it's this. So that has to do with magnetism. So if he actually gets into that, I think that's where he's going to be leading to. But this was a really bad picture. This is like one scene in the movie, or Thundercats. Remember Thundercats? Well, one part of the scene is like they all these gods gather in front of this temple. Well, this temple's got your, you know, it just looks like a regular temple. It's got a cat on top. Well, when you look at it differently, I can actually see, oh, it's backwards. Dang nabbit. It's the Freemasonic temple. So here's,
it's not playing backwards. You're just seeing it backwards on your
screen. Right, exactly. It's still the same temple. So it's got the stairs in the middle. It's got your door in the middle. It's got, they made it oval, but you have your All-Seeing-Eye, and you have your two temples on the other side of Jacqueline and Boaz. And then eventually they have a scene right after that where it shows him, you know, the All-Seeing-Eye in this big temple lighting up. This is all like just in the intro. Why is this all here? Why are they showing you the Freemasonic temple? Why are they showing you this doorway? Why are they showing you the two twin towers? And then why is it opening up with a spaghetti monster? Well, I like that right there. That's a good view. Anyhow, I can keep chatting, but.
Yeah. So just quickly, if we go back to the EWAR perspective, right? And we have the moon, which is the reverse image of us. And then we have where we really are before we move to the next sign. The Mount Meru is like at the center here, right? Because they always try to tell you, because of the old maps, allegedly, that Mount Meru is like right here in the center. But it really is the center of this thing, not the center of the us, like where we're at.
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
And you want so me to explain it.
No, I don't. I'm just confirming. Is that, am I making the right assumption that that's
that is what he presents?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I can see that being true and I can see it not being true. And I'm still looking into that myself because Jay Dreamers has brought up something that I laughed at. And as soon as I started laughing at it, I'm like, wait, I got to do a self-check. Why am I dismissing something so quickly? And he said, oh, the moon is the firmament of our sister world. All right, dude, I'll listen to you. And then he started breaking some stuff down and I'm like, interesting. So it's interesting right now.
Okay.
And then we have another channel of a guy who's actually kind of, which I can't follow. I don't even know his channel's name. He's actually trying to break down the craters of like, oh, the crater here, that's us. And then the crater off to the side. Yeah. I can't track with that. So different people have different perspectives. And then there's a Freemason thing that's going around where it's actually from the center of the earth where the black sun is, it's shooting out and it's kind of like a reflection, right? So it's like a projection of the map.
I can't see that one.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, me too. But you're definitely way deeper. You've gone way deep and that's awesome. Yeah. I kind of like stay at the surface.
Brandon, I felt like I took over your show there and I'm sorry.
No, that's great. No, don't be sorry at all because it's exactly what we wanted. And I love it because we're going to leave people wanting more with all these topics. Cause now I'm just like, oh, I want to hear more. And hey, maybe we'll just have to have them back on. To
absolutely.
Talk about this another time. And yeah, this is great. No, don't feel bad at all. I love it. Sorry, we're oversharing.
I overshared because Sharon's here. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Sharon, what do you think? Anything else we gotta speak about?
I think I think we brought up pretty much everything we wanted to talk about. Crow 777.
Nice.
Yeah. I should have had it in frame. All right. Awesome. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the end of the show and let us know what you think. Comment below. Make sure you hit the like, the thumbs up, all the things, subscribe, share us, share on, overshare. And yeah. And what do we say, Sharon?
Because if we're not oversharing,
we're not caring.
That needs to be a musical piece.
Yeah. Because if we're not oversharing,
we're not caring.
Ba-dum-bum!